We will first discuss the destruction of Torah, Torah itself, Torah learning. The year is 1240, and the location is Paris. Here, the Talmud is put on trial by the Christian authorities. The case against the Talmud was led by a Jewish apostate named Nicholas Donin, and he argued a very simple argument. He said, I will prove that the Talmud, the Gemara, Shas, is filled with many anti-Christian statements. And not only that, but the Jews of France are so obsessed with this book, the Talmud. They spend so much time studying it. They live their lives based on it, not based on the Bible, not based on what they call the Old Testament, what the Christians call the Old Testament, not based on the Chumash, on Torah, on Tanakh. It used to be the Jews were referred to as the people of the book. And therefore, there was a reason to tolerate them. They were the guardians of the quote-unquote Old Testament. But now the Jews are no longer the people of the book. They're the people of the Talmud, the people of the rabbis, with all of its anti-Christian and anti-Gentile philosophies. And therefore, this was the trial. Is the Talmud something? And is Talmud study, is Gemara study, is the Beis Medrash, is learning, is this something that is anti-Christian and cannot be tolerated in France? Defending the Talmudic tradition, defending the Masorah, were four great scholars. Perhaps the two that we know best, but that we're most familiar with, are Rav Yechiel of Paris, the great, one of the great Balei Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yechiel. It's quoted a number of places in Tosfos, in Shas, quoted a number of times in Arve Pesachim in Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, and Rav Moshe of Kutzi. He was the author of the Sefer Smag, Sefer Mitzvos Gedolos, which is a classic work of Ashkenazic Rishonim learning. In fact, if you look in the Gemaras, in the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah, when it quotes the Rambam, people usually look at the little letter in above a line in the Gemara in order to know where the Rambam quotes the din. But if you look carefully, you may not have ever noticed this, it also tells you where to find this halacha in the Smag. It was a very, very influential work in the times of the Rishonim. So Rabbeinu Yechiel of Paris, Rav Moshe of Kutzi, they were joined by others, Rabbi Yehuda Mimilun, Rav Shimon of Falais. But these Rabbanim were given the impossible mission of defending the Talmud, defending the Gemara. Why was it impossible? Because, as we would expect, the result of this trial was already a foregone conclusion way before it began. The Talmud was going to be found guilty, and it was. And we have records of the debate, both in Jewish sources and non-Jewish sources. But in the aftermath of this disputation, of this debate, so copies of the Talmud and all other important Jewish texts were confiscated. They were rounded up, and they were burned in Paris a few years later. Estimates suggest that 24 cartloads of Sfarim. Now, we have to understand what that means, 24 entire cartloads, huge, you know, like caravan worth of Sfarim. This is thousands and thousands of texts. We also have to realize the year that we're in. We're in the 1240s. This is before the invention of the printing press, which means that every single sefer was handwritten, laboriously copied by hand. And the loss of thousands and thousands of texts was catastrophic for Torah learning. We, for instance, nowadays, have certainly lost many, many Tosafist works, writings of the Balei Tosfos, of the great French Rabbanim, of the Rishonim. There were no other copies. And it wasn't like nowadays that you can go to the library, Harvard Library, the library in Yerushalayim of Hebrew University, and they have copies of the texts that were sent, you know, books that come out, there are copies in different libraries around the world. Pirushim that were written in France, that was it. There was one copy of it, two copies of it, pre-printing press. And this was a catastrophic event in Jewish history. There's an amazing tshuva in the Tshuvas of the Maram in the Dfus Prague. He writes there in one of the tshuvas Reish Nun, he apologetically begins the tshuva by saying, listen, I'm going to try to answer your question, but we have no books with which to study. He's not really explaining why he can't answer the question, but he's lamenting the reality. He says, we Pashit don't have Sfarim. There was nothing to learn. Rabbeinu Meir, the Maram of Rutenberg, was apparently in France at the time and probably witnessed this horrific burning of Sfarim. And he composed the Kina, which has become a very famous Kina, because it's part of our Tisha B'Av liturgy. And this passionate Kina, which we say on Tisha B'Av, is called Sha'ali Srufa Ba'esh. It's Kina Mem Aleph. And interestingly, it's in the middle, it's recounting an event that took place in medieval times. But interestingly, it's towards the end of Kinos, and it's really right in the middle of all of the different Sion Kinos. If you look at the structure of the Kinos, so the end of the Kinos are all Kinos that are focused on Sion. It's as we start moving towards the end of Kinos. So right in the middle of all of these Sion Kinos, we have a Kina called Sha'ali Srufa Ba'esh. The reason why it's here is probably because it was heavily based on the famous Kina of Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi of Sion Halo Tishali, which is a few Kinos before. It's, let's see if we can find it here quickly. Lamed Vav, Rabbi Yehuda HaLevi. So, Sion Halo Tishali, L'Shalom Asirayach. So, Sha'ali Srufa Ba'esh, first of all, it's structured. It draws on some of the same themes. Also, the end of each stanza ends with Layich, similar to Tzion Halot Tishali. So we have here in Sha'ali Srufa Ba'esh, Ale Moked Gli Layich, Al Tzirei Chavo Layich. And it's a beautiful, heart-wrenching kina. Sha'ali Srufa Ba'esh, I'm asking on the wellness, I'm seeking out, I'm concerned about the Srufa Ba'esh, the Torah Kedosha, which was burned in fire, Srufa Ba'esh. L'shlom Aveilayich, I'm also concerned. I'm wondering about the Shalom of all of those Aveilim. Hamis Avim Shchon, the ones who are, they have a desire to dwell, B'chatzar Zvulayich, they want to dwell in the Batei Kenesios, the Batei Midrashos. Hashoafim Ba'afar Eretz, and they're in pain, they're in shock. They want to live in Eretz Israel. They want to be Ba'afar Eretz, but they're in pain and shock over the Srefa of the Glilot, the Glilayich, the Yuriot of the Torah. Hochim Chashechim Ve'inoga, they're in Golos and they're in the darkness of Golos and there's no light here. Vikovim L'Or Yomam, they're looking for Geula, Asher Yizrach Aleihem Ve'alayich, they want the light of Geula to shine on them, to shine on Torah. Ushlom enosh nenach boche belev nishbar. I'm also worried about all of the broken people who groan in pain and in mourning with broken hearts. Tamid mikonein alai tzirei chavolayich. Their pain is like the pain of labor pains because we know that there will be a Geula. So it's a very powerful kina. I'm not going to go through the whole thing right now, but this is commemorating this event, the burnings, the Talmud burnings in Paris. And it's part of our Avelus, as we have Avelus over Chorban Beis HaMikdash. We know there's a very strong and intense link between Beis HaMikdash and Torah, we say at the end of Davening. She'ibana Beis HaMikdash b'mheira v'yameinu b'seinu chalkeinu b'sor asecha. Torah learning is not complete without Binyan Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is not complete if there aren't also people learning Torah. These are two ways that the Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down into the world. And if we're mourning the Gullus of Shechina because of Chorban Beis HaMikdash, we're also going to be mourning the Chorban of Torah. And as much as we learn and as much as we have Torah institutions, we have opportunities to learn, we have to realize that Torah learning and the power of Torah, perhaps even more significantly, the effect that Torah can have on the world is mitigated in our world of Golos. So this is something that we mourn, this specific event of the burning of the Talmud, something that really dimmed the light of Torah in the 1240s in France. And we also try to connect to it on our own level as well. The year is 1189, September. The location is London. We are at the coronation of King Richard I, King Richard the Lionheart, coronation of King of England. Now, the Jews are not officially invited to the coronation, but some Jewish leaders decide to attend with the aim of presenting a gift to the new king. According to secular accounts, the king's advisors, when they saw the Jews enter the coronation, so they quickly have the Jews arrested, whipped, and thrown out of the ceremony. But then a horrific rumor spreads that King Richard ordered that all Jews be killed, be exterminated. And this leads to a mob of Londoners attacking the Jewish population. There are reports that King Richard issued an edict afterwards when he heard about the events to protect the Jews. But it wasn't really enforced, at least not completely. And only 6 months later was the infamous events at York, where a Jewish community was decimated, was exterminated. 100 years later, in 1290, the Jews are expelled completely from England, and they only return in the 1650s under Oliver Cromwell. So let's read a short excerpt. This is from the writings of Rabbi Ephraim of Bonn, and he records as follows the events at the coronation of King Richard. Bishnas, and we have the year 1189, Rali Yisrael Mishamayim Nitkan. Ki hu amar melech bi'i hayam, a king was appointed in the island territory, Hanikra Anglateria, England. Vahi bayom shukam lamelech, and it was on the day of his coronation. Asher nitan keser malchus birosho bi'ir lundrish, when the crown was put on his head in London. Bebeis hamalchus asher michutz la'ir, in his palace right outside the city. Nesfu shama amrav mitzarfat mi'i hayam. A big crowd assembled from France, from England. Vayavo gama yehudim, haktsinim, ha'ashirim. And some of the prestigious Jews also came. Asher bohem lavi lemelech mincha. They wanted to bring a present to the king. V'yichlu rishom lomar. And the evil people who were there began to say, lo nachon shiyavo ha'yehudim liros ba'atar shamelech. Sh'itru lo komrim ugalochim v'yom shemuchter lemelech. It's not appropriate that Jews, these filthy Jews, should see the crown of the king. Why should they be able to gaze on the crown of the king, to see our priests place the crown on the head of King Richard? And they started to push them and to attack them. Hamelech lo yada. Here we recorded the king didn't know about it. But there was yet, even though the king didn't even know about it, there was a shmua that came into the city. The king is commanded to destroy the Jews. And immediately the population began to attack the Jews, to destroy their houses. 30 Jewish souls were killed on that day. Some of them even killed themselves and their children when they saw what was about to happen. Visham Nerag Harav Hamufak Rav Yaakov Miorleans Al Kiddush Hashem. And during this event, unfortunately, we hear of the death of one of the great Balei Tosfos, Rabbeinu Yaakov of Orleans. Rabbeinu Yaakov of Orleans was from the French city of Orléans, and he was a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, had come to England, was a Rav in England, and here we hear about his death. Rabbeinu Yaakov Orleans is quoted in our Tosfos in a number of locations. Sometimes as Rimi Orleans, sometimes as Rabbeinu Yaakov of Orleans. There was another famous Tosafist from Orleans who is also sometimes referred to as Rimi Orleans. That's Rav Yosef of Orleans. He's the author of the Bechor Shur. So sometimes it's unclear in a Tosfos when it just says Rimi Orleans. it's a reference to Rav Yaakov HaKadosh, Hashem Yaakov Domo, or Rav Yosef. But this Rav Yaakov Mi'Orleans was killed al Kiddush Hashem. V'lo yom ada melech b'chol zos. The king didn't know about this. When he heard all the yelling and the commotion, Shol ma kol haregesh. I said, what is all this noise? V'yomer shoar, and one of the officers said, ein davar, it's rak ha-ne'arim sochak v'smechem. It's just the kids celebrating and playing. V'yacharechein b'yivadah lo ha-emes, when he found out what really happened, tzivu likshuras ha-shoar b'znavo susim. V'hashlech b'rechovos b'shvakim. And so they tied this advisor, this officer who had told him, oh, it was nothing. So he was tied to the tail of a horse and he was dragged through the city until he died. Vayamas b'misa ra, baruch hakel hanose nekamos. Hashem exacts his retribution, his midah keneged midah, against those who sin. But this is the very sad description of the mob riots during the coronation of King Richard. Unfortunately, events like this are not the exception, but are more like the rule in medieval times. And here we have the tale of the unfortunate death of one of our great Balei Tosfos, Rabbi Yaakov of Orleans. The year is 1298, and the location is central Germany, a region referred to as Bavaria. And before we get to the event that we're going to describe, I want to give a few words of introduction. There was a famous Ger Tzedek named Avram the Ger, who lived during the times of the Rishonim in Germany. He went around from city to city preaching the truth of Torah and the falsehoods of Christianity. As we mentioned, he himself was a convert from Christianity. And apparently in one debate, he smashed a Christian icon, a cross, something, during the debate. And the Christians responded by attacking and killing a group of Jews. He himself was taken captive and brought in chains to Augsburg, Germany, where he was burned at the stake, Al Kiddush Hashem, in the year 1264. We have a kina written to remember the horrible burning of Rav Avram the Ger, Hashem Yakom Domo. It was written by Rav Mordechai ben Hillel. Rav Mordechai ben Hillel was one of the great poskim of Germany. He was a Talmud of the Maharam of Rutenberg. He is the author of the commentary that we have in the back of all standard printings of the Gemara, what's referred to as the Sefer Mordechai, which is just a treasure trove of teachings and minhagim and psakim from the great German poskim. It's probably the number one source of German psakim of the times of the Rishonim that was used by the Nosei Kelim in the Shulchan Aruch. Without the Sefer Mordechai, we wouldn't have many of the rulings that are recorded there, because many of the other great Rishonim from Ashkenaz, perhaps the greatest being the Rush, doesn't quote so much from the great German poskim. The Rush quotes much more regularly from the Balei Tosfos. So the Sefer Mordechai is a very, very important work. So he wrote a kina, remembering, it's not part of the liturgy that we say on Tisha B'Av, but it's called Marav Tuvcha Sher Tzafanta L'Hochei Or Chosecha. I'll just read a line or two from it. So what is the great good? How great is the good that you store away for those who follow your path? Magishim Nafshosam Olos Mechecha. You chose Avram, reference this Avram the Ger, who's going to be your korban. He was burned at the stake, like mamish, like a korban. And he talks about Dovak Beidosecha, Loses Tikva La'achris, this Ger, he went and he clung to your teachings. Vaisa Avram Haloch V'Nasol Das Ivris, he traveled, he made the journey to become a Jew. Nispach Al Beis Yaakov, he attached himself to the Beis Yaakov. Or Loso Hichris, he gave himself a Brismila. Bayomahu Karas Hashem is Avram Bris. Powerful kina written by Rav Mordechai ben Hillel on the death of Rav Avram the Ger. Unfortunately, little did Rav Mordechai know that he himself would face a similar fate. And now we go to 1298. We are in Germany, and Germany was decimated during the First Crusade, which was in 1096. And it's almost 200, it's basically 200 years before the story that we're going to be discussing. Decimated the communities of the Rhineland, the famous communities of Speyer and Worms and Mainz. Since then, the Jews lived in a relative quiet in Germany. However, this relative quiet began to change in the period of the later Rishonim. First, there were a series of blood libels that plagued the Jewish community in Germany. And then in a small town, Rottingen, there was a libel alleging that the local Jews had desecrated a Christian rite. An angry mob led by a German knight named Lorne Rindfleisch burned 21 Jews at the stake in Rottingen. Now, Rindfleisch claimed that he'd received a divine commandment to exact retribution against the Jews for having desecrated the host, the Christian rite. Probably, historians suggest, he probably owed money to some of the local Jews, which was probably the real impetus for this attack. He and his mob went on a six-month killing spree across Germany, reached Austria. He and his henchmen literally went town to town, just massacring the Jews in these towns. Major Jewish cities, major Jewish centers, like Rothenburg, Würzburg, Bamberg, Nuremberg, were destroyed. In total, 146 Jewish communities were wiped out, with tens of thousands of Jews killed. This was the horrific Rindfleisch massacres of 1298 in Germany. One of the victims was Rav Meir HaKohen, the author of the Hagos Maimonios, which is an important glosses or critical notes on the Rambam being a Sephardi posek, obviously. So the Hagos Maimonios will generally bring down when the Ashkenazim, the French, the Bali Tosfos, the Ashkenazic intellectual culture, when it disagrees with the Rambam, when it agrees with the Rambam, he will quote what the Ashkenazim have to say on the issues being mentioned in the Rambam. That's called the Hagos Maimonios, written by Rav Meir HaKohen, Talmud of the Maharam of Rutenberg. He was killed in Nuremberg during the Rindfleisch massacres. But another victim, unfortunately, was Rabbeinu Mordechai ben Hillel. His wife, I believe six children, were all killed in, I think that was actually in Nuremberg. Rav Meir HaKohen was killed in Rothenburg, where the Maharam was from. And Rabbeinu Mordechai ben Hillel was killed in Nuremberg, he and his family, during these Rindfleisch massacres. These are not the only Rishonim that were killed. We spoke today about Rav Yaakov of Orlien, of Rav Meir HaKohen, of Rabbeinu Mordechai ben Hillel. But there were many others in the Tower of York. Rabbeinu Yom Tov, a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, was killed. We know of many, many other. The Sefer Aguda was killed a couple of years later in a response to the Black Death, a mob killing. So there are many, many Rishonim, great Rishonim. And what we've tried to just highlight today is we see that part of the destruction of that we commemorate on Tisha B'Av is not only the destruction of the physical building of the Beis HaMikdash itself, but of all of those who represent Torah and Torah itself. In Paris, the destruction of Torah itself, the destruction of so many texts of Torah. And then in England, in Germany, the destruction of communities and the death of Talmidei Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim, the ones who bring the Dvar Hashem to the world. So their death is a tremendous, tremendous tragedy and something that we try to commemorate as well during this time period of Tisha B'Av.